Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, January 20th, is the feast of St. Fabian, Pope and Martyr, and the martyr St. Sebastian. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis highlights Christian values that can help businesses in their work and in their relations with workers. Caritas New Zealand is assisting the island nation of Tonga with emergency aid following Saturday's massive volcanic eruption. And the non-denominational organization Open Doors International reports the persecution against Christians is on the rise. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Pope Francis welcomed Italy's National Association of Building Contractors to the Vatican on Thursday on the occasion of their 75th anniversary. In his discourse, the Holy Father spoke of the importance of their work, highlighting the necessity of ensuring workers' safety. Francesca Merlo has this report.
Addressing Italy's National Association of Building Contractors in the Vatican on Thursday, Pope Francis noted that for this sector too, this is a difficult time. In these times, it is important to draw on the motivations, the fundamental choices, he said. Pope Francis then shared some of the teachings of the Gospel, which he said can help members in their work. He described it as a Christian interpretation of the values that inspire their organization, and these are competition and transparency, responsibility and sustainability, and ethics, legality and security. Beginning with competition and transparency, the Pope noted that competition alone is not enough. Competition, he said, must be an incentive to do one's work well and to improve rather than being a desire for domination and exclusion. This is why transparency in decision-making processes and economic choices is essential, continued the Pope. It makes it possible to avoid unfair competition, which in the economic and labour spheres often means job losses, support for undeclared work or underpaid work, he explained. The Pope then went on to speak of responsibility and sustainability. He explained that sustainability involves the regenerative capacity of every ecosystem. In the building sector, it is essential to use materials that offer people safety, yet at the same time, he said, we must avoid exploiting the environment by cooperating in making certain particularly exploited territories unviable. Finally, Pope Francis turned to ethics, legality and safety. He noted that last year too many people died at work. They are not numbers, stressed the Pope, but real people. If we look at safety in the workplace as a cost, we are starting from the wrong assumption, stressed the Pope. He explained that people are the real wealth, and that without them there is no working community, no business and no economy. Working safely allows everyone to express the best of themselves while earning their daily bread, concluded the Pope, adding that the more we take care of the dignity of work, the more certain we are that the quality and beauty of the work carried out will increase. Pope Francis concluded with a prayer to St. Joseph, patron saint of workers, asking that he might support them in their efforts, before asking that they pray for him too. I'm Francesca Merlo.
In other church news, a press conference in Munich today presented the findings of a report on clerical sexual abuse commissioned by the German Archdiocese to an independent law firm. The firm's mandate was to look into the handling of abuse cases by archbishops of Munich between 1945 and 2019. The over 1,000-page report identifies at least 497 people who were abused in the Archdiocese of Munich-Freising over the period of almost 74 years. It also identifies some 235 perpetrators of abuse. Specifically, the report reviews the management of a succession of archbishops, including Joseph Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI in 2005. The report also examined then-Cardinal Ratzinger's role as prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, a position he held from 1982 until his election as pope. In response to the publication today of the Munich report, Matteo Bruni, the director of the Holy See Press Office, told reporters, "The Holy See believes it must give due attention to the document, the contents of which it does not know at the moment." He added that in the coming days, it will be able to appropriately examine the details of the report. Bruni also reiterated the Church's shame and remorse for the abuse of minors committed by clerics and assured everyone of the Church's closeness to all victims while highlighting the path the Church has taken to protect the little ones by guaranteeing them safe environments. Turning now to world news, the first aircraft carrying vital humanitarian aid to Tonga arrived in the country's capital on Thursday. It comes 5 days after a volcanic eruption and tsunami hit the South Pacific island nation, leaving devastation in its wake. The eruption of the Hunga Tonga Hunga volcano on Saturday killed at least 3 people and triggered a tsunami that damaged villages, buildings, and also contaminated water supplies. Caritas Aotearoa New Zealand is partnering with Caritas Tonga and Caritas Australia to bring relief to all those affected by the disaster. Rachel Harrison is a programs coordinator for Caritas New Zealand, speaking with Vatican Radio's Lydia O'Kane. Ms. Harrison described the work being done to organize emergency supplies for people on the island.
Caritas Aotearoa New Zealand supports and partners directly with Caritas Tonga in many areas, including pre-positioned supplies. So pre-positioned supplies are essentially emergency supplies, which we have located in warehouses in 3 locations across Tonga. So those are in Tongatapu, the main island where the majority of the population live, and also in the Ha'apai and Vava'u island groups, which are north of Tongatapu. So the supplies that are included in these warehouses are things like there's a water purification unit, we've got hygiene kits, buckets, water taps, tarpaulins and blankets. And these supplies, we make sure that they're regularly replenished to ensure that they're ready to go in case of any emergency. So that's something that Caritas Aotearoa New Zealand and Caritas Tonga work very closely together on. And a full stock take of that was done, those supplies was done just before Christmas last year. So as soon as the eruption and the tsunami hit, we were confident that the necessary supplies were on the ground, available and ready to be distributed to those in need. So we received confirmation just a day or two after the eruption via the New Zealand High Commission that these supplies were in fact being released, which is fantastic news for the communities that have been impacted. But you're right, all Caritas agencies across the region have been coordinating together in this response. So as Caritas agencies, we work to the principles of Catholic social teaching, including things like solidarity, localisation, which meaning we want to ensure that the response to this event is locally led within Tonga by the government and civil society agencies, and also subsidiarity, meaning that those people on the ground are the ones making the decisions that are the best and most appropriate for them and their communities.
That was Rachel Harrison, Programs Coordinator for Caritas Aotearoa New Zealand, speaking with Vatican Radio's Lydia O'Kane. Elsewhere, more than 500,000 people are estimated to have lost or been pushed out of their jobs in Afghanistan in the 5 months since Taliban rule began. That's according to the ILO on Wednesday. While noting huge jobs losses and losses in working hours, the ILO said women are particularly hard hit. Robin Gomes tells us more.
Following the change in administration in Afghanistan after the events of mid-August 2021, the ensuing crisis has paralyzed the economy and continues to have dire impacts on the labor market, the UN's International Labor Organization, ILO, said in its brief employment prospects in Afghanistan. The ILO said employment losses are expected to increase to nearly 700,000 by the second quarter of 2022 as enterprises struggle to stay viable and work becomes scarce. If the situation of women deteriorates further and out-migration intensifies, employment losses could increase to more than 900 jobs by the second quarter of 2022. Women's employment levels are already extremely low by global standards, but ILO said that they are estimated to have decreased by 16% in the third quarter of 2021, and they could fall by between 21% and 28% by mid-2022. The crisis in Afghanistan has made an already challenging situation for women workers even worse, said Ramin Behzad, senior ILO coordinator for Afghanistan. Work in key sectors has dried up, while newly imposed restrictions on women's participation in some economic areas are also hitting home. While the priority is to meet immediate humanitarian needs, Behzad said, lasting and inclusive recovery will depend on people and communities having access to decent employment, livelihoods, and basic services. Hundreds of thousands of job losses have been seen in several key sectors, which have been devastated since the takeover by Afghanistan de facto rulers, Ayatollah said. These include public administration, social services, construction, agriculture and civil service, where workers have either been laid off or left unpaid. I am Robin Gomes.
The Catholic bishops of France have released a document calling on French citizens to vote in presidential elections set for mid-April. Devin Watkins has this report.
France's presidential elections are around the corner, with the first round to be held on April 10th and a second round on April 24th if no candidate receives a majority of the vote. Parliamentary elections will be held later in June. As campaigning heats up, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of France has released a lengthy document entitled Hope Does Not Disappoint. The 60-page text seeks to encourage people to exercise both their consciences and their right to vote. The bishops divide their considerations into seven themes, which range from living together in peace to respect for all human life, and from religion as a search for meaning to integral ecology. Each chapter closes by offering several questions to help guide community discussion. At the same time, French bishops ease into the political debate, expressing their desire to bear witness to Christ in every aspect of life while admitting the sins of some church representatives. France's bishops go on to note that French society faces many challenges, including increasing fragmentation aggravated by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The risk of fracturing our national community as well as the resurgence of international tensions are real, admit the bishops, and they dedicate a long paragraph to an uptick in violence in the EU nation. They thus urge all people to take up their civic responsibilities and not give in to bitterness. Fear, they add, is always a bad counselor. It is hope that opens the way to courageous and healthy choices. The bishops of France also warn against the temptation toward nationalism, while cautioning politicians against using religion as an identity platform. The fundamental movement of religion cannot be reduced to a quest for a particular identity, they say. Rather, it must be initiated by the search for God and for the good, the true, and the beautiful. Another issue taken up is the question of respect for life. The French bishops say a bill aiming to extend the abortion limit from 12 to 14 weeks constitutes an additional violence against society as a whole. They also advocate for the full inclusion of people with disabilities and migrants, while urging all French citizens to set out on a path of ecological conversion. I'm Devin Watkins.
Finally, a new report published by Open Doors International highlights that persecution against Christians continues to rise, especially in Asia and Africa. Here's Lisa Zingarini.
On January 19, Open Doors, the international organization supporting persecuted Christians worldwide, released its latest World Watch list. The annual report that ranks the top 50 countries where Christians experience the worst persecution for their faith highlights that violence and discrimination against them continued to increase in 2021, especially in Africa and Asia. According to its findings, last year over 360 million Christians endured persecution and discrimination in their country. Following the Taliban takeover in August 2021, Afghanistan ranks first in the list as the most dangerous country for Christians. It has overtaken North Korea, which was first in the list for 20 years. Four out of the first five countries recording the highest rate of anti-Christian violence are Islamic states, also including Somalia, Libya, and Yemen.
And that was Lisa Zingarini. And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. From the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.